carry the cross of Calvary's hill. Rugged cross and bore
seats. Amen. I mean, he knows there's no one like him. I'm glad he doesn't get tired of hearing me say that, because I tell him that all the time. There's no one like him. Amen. It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord today. Go ahead and open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. We'll read one verse there, then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 13. As I said, it's good to see each one. Good to see Brother Richard with us this morning. Yeah. Each one. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. In Hebrews chapter 13, we'll begin reading at verse 7. I'll have it here on the screen. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burnt without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This is praying. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service, Lord, we believe it is the most important part, Lord, that you would be able to speak to the hearts of your children. And so we surrender to you now. We ask, God, that you just come and speak your word. Pray that you just may it go to the heart of each one, past their ears, past their intellect, right down into their soul, Lord, that it would bring the quickening power that you have promised it would bring to us. We love you, Lord, and we just commit this time in your hands. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. May we see it. The title of this morning, The Sign of the Resurrection. Amen. So he tells Moses, when he speaks to Moses, he tells Moses to go to the children of Israel and bring them out of Egypt. And of course he said, I've come down to do it and I'm sending you. So you see, God can go through a man. But he tells Moses, when Moses said, well, if I go down there and tell them, they're going to want to know who it is that sent me. And God said, tell them, I am. I am sent you. And we've all heard it so many times in the past, you know, that he is, I am, ever present. And we know that. And we're glad that he is, right? Yeah. And so he is the I am. But if you really think about it, in eternity, there is no time, right? And so in order for him to say, well, I was, that would speak of time. Or I will be. That will speak of time. Right? He's an eternal being. Right. And so for him, he is always present. So in this declaration, you know, if you really look at this, when he says, I am sent you, what he's trying to say is that eternal being is here present, has come, not that I was or it will be, but I am always. I am always present. And so you see there that no matter how he comes, how he appears, there's something about him that's always the same. Amen. Right? So we read here in the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we read that all the time, or quoted all the time, Brother Branham quoted all the time, that he is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he was yesterday, he is today. And what he is today, he will be tomorrow. He will be forever. And so there's something about him that doesn't change. His corporal body changed, right? He came, he walked up and down the shores of Galilee, and so then he was crucified. He changed, that changed, right? But there was something about him that never changed, right? And so the scripture is telling us that whatever that is, he was that yesterday, he is today, and he will be forever. And so that's the thing that we want to connect with. We realize in the scriptures when it said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so if we walk in the light, right, it gives us access to what he was and what he did for us so many years ago on this glorious day. And so we're going to talk just a little bit about yesterday, today, and forever. And especially today. So, you know, yesterday, what was it yesterday? We know this week, as we said earlier, and Brother Branham talks about this in two sermons that are really, really good there in 1965 that you could go listen to, the Easter Seal, and it is the rising of the sun, one week and the next week. They're very good. There is so many, just one phrase punchlines in there that is so tremendous that, you know, as Brother Branham got closer to the end of his ministry, he was speaking very plainly. And he's saying things there that are just so powerful that even as he said in one of those sermons, he said, I don't think even us who believe, he said, I don't think we just quite really get it, what it is that he's done for us. And so this last week, as we said a while ago, you know, it's the greatest week of the year, right? In commemoration to what he did for us, in the fact that he went to Calvary for us. And so we're celebrating what I would refer to as the two greatest events that ever happened and all and ever will happen. One is on Good Friday that he died for us, right? But the second one is that on Easter morning he rose again. That's the most. Many men have died, and maybe have died, you know, once in a while, maybe for someone else. But he rose again. And so those are the greatest two things. A lot of men, as Brother Branham would say, a lot of men have done great things. There's been through history a lot of great men that have done a lot of things. But as I was thinking a while ago as we were singing, what would it take? What kind of act of a person would it take that would be so tremendous that you could take that and say, that act will redeem the entire human race? What man, you know, could, so I'll come forth and I'll do this or I'll do that and I'll die for the people. And see, wouldn't make any difference if you just laid there in the grave, right? And so we realize that this one is the only one that could have redeemed humanity. And so it's the greatest things that ever was. You know, we understand that through the plan of redemption, that to cleanse us of our sins, that God required an innocent sacrifice of an innocent one. Yeah. And I have here on my notes as a heading that it required a man with clean blood. And so what person in the fall of humanity, from Adam all the way down to Brother Branham and me and you and all the rest of us, you know, as he said, who's worthy to open the seals? And nobody, nobody in heaven, nobody that already gone on, nobody that came in the resurrection when Jesus rose up, it's in heaven, Moses, none of them, they couldn't do it. Right. Nobody in the earth could do it. Nobody that you know, anywhere could do it. And so what kind of person would it be? Would it have to be a person with clean blood? And there was no man with clean blood. And so we understand, but it does require a man, right? He has to be kinsman in order to die for us, in order to be sacrificed. He'd have to be that kinsman to be that redeemer. So he'd have to be man, right? But all men were sinful. All of their blood was polluted. But yet it was going to require a man. So how are you going to get a man who's a man, but yet he's got clean blood? And there was only one way it could happen, right? It'd have to come through a virgin birth.
Right.
It's the only way it could come. It would have to come through that way. And so he came, and we realized it was God with us, came down, had to come that way, but he couldn't come through the manner of the fall. Couldn't come through a sex birth, so he had to be a virgin birth. This is very clearly speaks about why serpent seed doctrine is so important.
Right.
Because it goes right there hand, right along with the revelation of why Mary had to be a virgin, why Jesus had to be born virgin birth, was because any other way would have been a repeat of the sin that caused the thing in the first place. And then he would have come through, you know, and even God could not come down and act in that way. I know some people get offended when they say that Jesus was not part of Mary. She was just an incubator. But if it would have been part of Mary, then you see what it would have been, as Brother Bram said. See what you'd have God doing? So God spoke into her at that holy embryo, and she just was an incubator. Never called her mother. How many knows that? In the scriptures, he never called her mother, right? And so these are all truths, and they all matter. They all fit together, and there's a reason why these things. And so Jesus had to come. He had to have clean blood. Could not have come any other way. And so God required that there be one that would come with clean blood. And then when he came, he would have to be willing to die for us. He'd have to be willing. And the only way he could do that would just be, as we know, would have to be that he would stay absolutely with the word of God and the plan of God and be totally submissive to his Father. So here he comes on the earth and says, it's not me that doeth the works, but it's the Father which dwelleth in me. Right? And so I don't do anything unless I see it from the Father. So here he had to come, had to have clean blood, and he'd have to be totally, complete, submitted to the word of God, even unto death, as the scripture said, to let this mind be in you that was in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but humbled himself. He didn't stand up there boastful and say, don't you know who I am? He just was humble, right? And so we realize that. And so he had to be a man that was totally submissive to the will and to the word of God. And we realize he was, because he was the word made flesh himself. And so, thereby doing that, he paid the price and died for us. And as Brother Graham said, as many men have died, but Jesus Christ was the only one that could stand and say that I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. And say something like, destroy this temple, but in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And we've talked about this before, how that Jesus, he found himself in the scriptures. He had to come to the place where he realized who he was and where he was in the plan of God. And just like we do, we have to come to the realization that we are sons and daughters of God. It just so happened that when he came to that revelation to realize that what he realized he was Emmanuel. That's the difference, right? But same thing. He was in the same flesh just like we are, that had to eat, and he had suffered and would get hungry and have a headache and all those things, all that stuff that comes with being human, so he could be the kinsman redeemer. He had all that, but he'd come to the place where he realized who he was. And how did he do that? He did that based upon the word. As Brother Bram said, when David said, thou wilt not suffer my... Thou will not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He said David was a backslidden man when he said that. But Jesus on that scripture said, you'll not let me suffer corruption. That within 3 days, corruption was set in. And so Jesus, because it was the word, regardless of what David, whatever happened, that was the word of God. And Jesus knew that. He'd come to the revelation, hey, that's speaking of me. And so he moved into that expression of that word and said, destroy this temple, and within 3 days I'll raise it up again, based upon words of a backslidden man, but happened to be the word of God speaking through him. Mm-hmm. Right? And so Jesus was the only one that could say that. And a lot of people can say a lot of things, but to prove it is another thing. And so, like I said, he was the only one that could do that, could lay down his life. And I say that, he was the only one that could say that in that way. But as we've said before, we think about it because of what he did. Now you and I can say the same thing. Maybe slightly different. Not saying that, hey, come and destroy this body and I'll raise it up. That's not it. But we all, as Christians, we have power to lay down this life in this world and live for others as a sacrifice, knowing that it'll come up again.
Right.
Because we're believers. So as you realize when that's happening, that as the whole theme of what I'm talking about, that what he was back then, he still is today. And when he was able to come and live like he did and be the ultimate sacrifice and perform the word of God in that day, he's still able to do it today. Amen. It's just different tabernacles. Amen. He's living in his people doing it. And as he was able to raise himself back up, we have within us the same one who can do the same thing, that will raise us in a resurrection or rapture our bodies. Amen. Same one. So he proved it. Proved what he was talking about. The scripture tells us, you know, that he was delivered for our offenses. You know what an offense is? When you trespass against someone, you make someone aggravated, you do something wrong toward them, whatever. So he was delivered for our offenses. How many has ever offended someone? Well, it was a couple of hands that didn't come up, maybe. I'm glad you're perfect. We all offend God probably every day, but we offend one another. We don't mean to. Sometimes people might mean to, but we all offend. I offended my wife one time. One time. I offended her one time. I said something to hurt her feelings, and she said, "You hurt my feelings." I said, "No, I didn't." She said, "It's my feelings. I know whether they got hurt or not." Right? You know? What I meant to say, sweetie, is I've never told you this. What I meant to say was, I didn't mean to. That's what I was thinking. I said, "No, I didn't." Because sometimes you do things, and it does things you don't mean for it to do. Right? And so, you know, she kind of pinched my fingers a couple of days ago. And so, with a carjack. You know, but she did not offend me. And you know why? Because I knew she didn't do it on purpose. It makes all the difference in the world. Right? Amen. But he was delivered for our offenses. And in Romans chapter 4:25, I should bring it up, is where it says this. But it says he also was raised for our justification. Now, justification is a very powerful thing. You know, Luther had justification, but he had some loose ends. So it took an end time message to bring that tie that loose end. So Brother Graham comes along and tells you, here's what justification means. And when you look in this scripture right here, it makes sense. Justification is just as if you never did it in the first place. Because if Jesus would have died for us and still laid in the grave, there could still be accusation to us, because the proof was there and saying, yes, you did do it. He died for you, but it was for your sins he did it, and so you're still guilty. But when he raised from the dead and there's an empty tomb, now where's the accusation? Right? There's no proof that it ever happened. So he was raised to justify us, to make it as so that it was so much erased the record of our failures and our sins so much that in God's economy, there's not. What are you talking about, Satan? Right? He's the accuser of the brethren, says the scriptures, right? And so God's not the accuser. God is the solution. He's not the accuser of the brethren, and we shouldn't be either, right? It is Satan who is the accuser of the brethren. But he was raised for our justification. And so if he was raised for our justification, then there's no mark against us. Amen. Right? No mark against us. And if that's the case, then what hinders? The scripture tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. It's the devil that tells you you can't come. It's the devil that says you don't have access. You can imagine what Esther felt like, you know, that nobody could come before the king unless he invited them. And if you came, you'd lose your head if he wasn't happy about it. And she had to come through the whole thing to realize that, hey, this does not apply to her. because she was his queen, right? She's on a different level than everybody else. And that's the whole thing through his sacrifice. He put us on a different level than the rest of the world, right? And so it's the devil that tells you you can't come before God, because he's taken all those marks away from us, justified us, as the prophet said, you're the virtuous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Said you didn't do it in the first place. Right?
Right.
Can we accept that? Right? See, we can't just live in past day in denominational thinking. We have to come forward into everything that was said today that's bringing all this word and bringing it all to clear focus. And all that was laying there, but now it comes clear to us, and we must accept these things. Yeah. The virtuous bride, sinless virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Jesus had to be one with clean blood, had to be willing. He came, he died, he rose again. What was he doing when he did all that? Well, he was fulfilling the word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. He was fulfilling the word of God. And Brother Ram says it this way, that it was the word made flesh fulfilling the word of promise. Right? That word of promise had to be fulfilled with someone, and Jesus came and fulfilled that. And he was the Word made flesh and was fulfilling the word of promise. So that was God coming down in flesh. And when he did this, when Jesus rose from the dead, as I said earlier, he is the I Am. When he rose from the dead, he proved who he was. And he proved that that atonement worked, and that it was all that everything we'd ever have need of. When he gave the sign of the resurrection, a sign of showing that something that was alive and then died, and now it's alive again. Resurrection. And you realize that God is the only one that can do that. God is the only one that can create. He's the only one that can come up in a resurrection. He is the resurrection and life. He is the... If you're going to live again, it has to come through him, because he is that resurrection, that life. Can't come any other way. And so when Jesus came up, that was a sign that something that was dead can now live again. And that was the ultimate thing that I said, nobody else could ever do it. What man could live and redeem people? No, nobody, but this could. Right? If you look back of all history and all humanity, and you see that, and you could see it, all these people doing things to try to do good and nothing works, but you could see one man who would lay down his life and he could lift it up again and do something that nobody else could do, then he'd have to be that one that you'd put forth to be the propitiation for the people. Because he's the only one that could do what he did. Right? But now, that's what he was doing. He was showing himself to be the resurrection, giving the sign of the resurrection, showing that he was here fulfilling his word, and showing that he was the I Am. Right? Showing you that now this one of atonement is not the I was or I will be, but I am. He's present. This eternal God has now come down, God with us, showing himself ever present. And Jesus said, I'll be with you always, all the way to the end.
Amen.
Right? God coming down into a person and showing you that he would be with you through all these things. And so he did that. But is that all he did? Just come, live, die, and so forth? Or, as Brother Ram said, or are we beneficiaries? And we know the answer to that is, he didn't just die and then just say, okay, now you're on your own. Hope you don't go sin again. He didn't do that. That in that atonement, he made it such that he now can come live within us, so that he would change us, give us a new life, so that there was a resurrection in us, and now we're going forth, and we're not living the old life, we're living a resurrected Christ.
Right.
Not the same sins, not the same desires, but we're living a resurrected Christ now. So what he did made us beneficiaries of what he did. And so he tells us in John chapter 4:19, because I live, you shall live also.
Right.
Think about that. I think she'll bring it up here in just a moment. He's telling them, I'm standing here before his sacrifice. He said, I'm with you. In a little while I'm going to be with you. But then I'm going to go into a place where the world can't see me, but you will see me. Right? And because I live, ye shall live also. So he says, I'm going to come up in a resurrection. And when I come up in that resurrection, because I am alive again, I'm imparting to you. You are beneficiaries of this. You can live also. You're not talking about just living this life, what we have here. They already had that, right? He's talking about living eternally. Living with what? The resurrection in them. That's what makes it the difference is. And so, Brother Brown, when he was saying this, he said, when Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also, speaking to his bride. That's who he's speaking to.
Right.
Speaking to her that she will live also. How many wants to live eternally?
Amen.
Well, you know what? He spoke it. Right? He spoke it. It has to be. Because his word can't fail. And so there's where it is. To have eternal life is to have him in you. And so, you know, today, that's what he was yesterday. But as I said a while ago, whatever he was then, he's the same now. And so, what is he today? Well, today he's the same thing. He's still the Word being made flesh, fulfilling his word promise, fulfilling his word for this day. So you realize Jesus came and he lived, he died, life, death, burial, and resurrection. That's the way Brother Ram talked about it. And so you find out even today, Jesus Christ is still coming and expressing the ability to live, die, be buried, and be resurrected, but he's doing it in us. Showing himself the same God, same present, same resurrection power in his people, but he's doing it through us. And so, what he promised to do, he's still doing it. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the whole thing that modern religion has gotten into. Is it's religion, and they have all kinds of forms and all kinds of formality. And yet, and all these millions of people coming and doing these things, but without getting to the resurrection, without getting the resurrection in them. And so, you know, when the scripture said that any spirit that comes along, or anyone that comes along and confesses not that Christ is in the flesh, is come in the flesh, is Antichrist. Because his whole purpose of dying for us is so that he could come back and live in us, because we can't do it any other way. I mean, if he doesn't come and live in us, then we won't live righteous lives, right?
Right.
So the whole thing, if to be partakers of Calvary and to be saved at all, he's got to come into you. And so Satan's going to have all kinds of ways to get people to be religious, but they can't come to that. Yeah. If he can just keep that life from coming in there. As Brother Branham said in these sermons, he said, they got all these things, and you know, it's eat meat and don't eat meat, as we've read in the scriptures there. They don't profit by all that nonsense. Brother Branham said, what difference does it make if you lent or had not lent? If you don't have that life in you, you're not going to come up anyway.
Right.
And so all these systems, if they keep you from coming to resurrection life in you, it's Antichrist. Because it's keeping the very purpose of him coming on the Calvary out of your experience. And so we know that's what the world has gotten into. And so, but he promised what he would do today, and he's here. What good would it do if he came and was able to do all that, but then his sacrifice for us, even his ability to come and live with, what if that only lasted for so long and then it ran out? Or how would that help us? Right? If it was already run out and it was for bygone days and only for the apostles, how does that help me? How does that help you? See, what he had to do, it had to be the work and the presence of the I Am. That there's no limitations of time, What if he would come and die and said, okay, I've died for your sins, but not all sins? Well, there's some things just won't. You see what I'm saying? What I'm trying to show you is this package of what he did, what he delivered to us on the day when he resurrected, is the full thing. You don't need anything else. It's for always. It's yesterday, today, and forever, all throughout eternity. And you can't have a sickness it can't heal. You can't have a sin it can't take care of. You see what I'm saying? Amen. It's the full thing. And so this is his way. This is his process. Life, death, burial, resurrection is the process of how he comes and redeems us back from the fall. He came when man fell in the garden, then God started out on this process right here. Until he came, lived and died, and is resurrected, that's the way he redeemed humanity. And so, but you realize it's the same one who's coming even our day. We make mistakes, we fail, whatever. First of all, as a Christian, just to come to the place where you come to know him, we call it being saved or whatever, but you come to the place. What is it? It's that God who begins to speak to you and convict you. Because if he didn't do that, you wouldn't come. He begins to speak to you and convict you, and he takes you to a death, right? To die out to your sins, to bury your sins in a grave, as it were, and then turns around and comes back up in you with a new life of the Holy Spirit. Life, death, burial, resurrection. He's doing it in all of us to make us Christians in the first place. So what he did yesterday, he's doing it again. Still the same God performing his work and his will. And even just in small ways, just when you maybe you make a mistake, it's the same thing, the same Holy Spirit to convict you and for you to go and pray through and come back out of your prayer closet knowing that everything's okay.
Right.
It's life, death, burial, resurrection. Brother, sister, what if we didn't have that? We came and we just did all the emotions, but we had nothing that would speak back to us and let us know that our sins are forgiven. What would it be like? Amen? He didn't leave us like that. Amen. You know, I know that we live by faith, and the world said, well, you got to just live by faith, you know. But he didn't tell us that we would have to live this life alone. He told us, yes, you live this life by faith, but he'll come and you'll have fellowship with him. Amen? And so it's the same thing as we fail and we make mistakes every day. Life, death, burial, resurrection, same God working in us. Amen? And so here it is also, not just doing that for humanity, not just us as Christians, but we find out that he does it again here in this last day, end time day. He's done the same thing. Because the church world had fell away. You know, if you read in Thessalonians, it talks about that day cannot come until, first of all, there come a falling away, and then the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And then Christ can come and destroy him with the spirit of his mouth and so forth. And so the church, it was told the church would fall away from truth, and they did. We went all the way, the Catholic Church doing the things it did, went through the Dark Ages, that as God promised he would bring us back in a resurrection, and so he starts this process of bringing us back out of the Dark Ages with Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. And so you see the cycle there. But the scripture showed us there that at the end of the church ages there, when Christ should have been inside his own church, but he was put out. He was outside of his own church, knocking, trying to get in. And Brother Rem said it's the most pathetic thing in Scriptures. That here he is, he came, he lived and died, and did all the things he did throughout all ages, and showed himself faithful and true. And yet, his church had gotten worked around into man-made stuff, and Satan had got in there and tricked everybody to the place where the very Messiah himself was outside of the church. Now listen, they meet every Sunday. They meet all the time. And they talk about the man who walked up and down the shores of Galilee. They talk about that all the time. So that's not what's put out. That's not what they put out of the church. But what they put out of the church is the present, the I am. They don't put out the what he used to be, and they look forward to the future. But the present day I am is the thing they're rejecting. Because presently today, he is the word today. He will correct the error today. Always does. And so it's the person today and what he's doing today that they put out. And so, as you said, most pathetic thing in scriptures. But what does God do? So merciful in the way he does. He comes along and he provides a way. Yeah. And so when the church couldn't produce it and that cry went forth, who's worthy to open this book and bring those names that's redeemed out? And no church could do it. So God had to do what he's always done. He came forward. He came forward and paid the price and did what it would be. And he did that in this end time. It was all part of his plan, but he did that and acted these things out in our day. Christ came in our day. Again, God coming down and living in flesh, being the Word made flesh, fulfilling his word of promise. Now, you have to understand when we say this, we're not saying Brother Branham was Christ.
Right?
He's not the Son of Man. But the Son of Man came down and used that man's body and used his voice. And that man said, I can't do these. It's not me. I'm just happen to be standing by when he does these things. It's him. Right? And so God came down. But once again, when Christ came in and used that man's body to show the sign of the resurrection in our day, to show that Jesus Christ really is alive. Right? To raise him up out of history and so to make Bible days come alive again, as we've heard so many testimonies, that God had come down and once again in human flesh, making word, the word made flesh, fulfilling his word, and the fulfillment of that word would end up producing the sign of the resurrection in our presence, in our day. It's what he did throughout all these ages. It's what he does when you repent. Shows you something coming into you and changing what you couldn't change. Doing what you can't do. Right? Praying, you know, healing somebody that doctors can't heal. That's the presence. That's the resurrection. And so God would come in this last day and do the same thing. He would come and through a ministry show the sign of the resurrection for the same purpose of what it was in any other case when he would show the sign of the resurrection. To fix the things that were wrong and provide a way where there was no way. And so God would come in this last day and do the same thing when Christ was on the outside of the church and nobody could answer. Then the Lamb came forth and opened a book, and as the prophet said, he produced a breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. Because if you could understand this, that man had failed, churches had failed, and if God didn't do anything, we would have been stuck in denominational teaching. And if we were stuck in denominational teaching, that's not resurrection. But God wanted to show a sign of a resurrection and bring us into that resurrection so we are beneficiaries of that resurrection. Not just what he did 2,000 years ago, but he wants us to be beneficiaries today of what he showed in the resurrection today. That we're beneficiaries. Every time God shows himself in the sign of resurrection, we are to be beneficiaries to that. You understand that? And so he would come in this day, and so the Lamb come. And by opening those seals, because we had run all the way to the end, and we were basically run up against a brick wall, and no man, no church could have got us out of this condition. We had just been denominationally wrapped up, part of that harlot system. And remember, God said he come along to come out of her, right? So he's calling us out. What if he hadn't have done that? What if he had not in this day showed the sign of the resurrection? We would have thought the denomination, that's all there is to it. This is church. This is what the world thinks. That's church. No, that's church, but that's not the resurrection. So he would come in this day and by opening the seals would bust a hole through that wall so we could get out of church age denomination and move right on into the resurrection. Amen. That's what he did in our day. By a man who was born of sin just like us, but by a man coming out and God coming into that man and speaking and doing things through that we know a man can't do. And it's infallible. It's there's no question about it. What God did, a man can't do. That's a sign of a red. And the whole purpose of that was to bust through all this denominational limitations and let us come forth and become beneficiaries of resurrection again. Amen?
Amen.
The message is a sign of the resurrection.
Amen.
It's what God came to do. Amen. Taking us from time, busting through into eternity. Because the I Am is the only resurrection. He's the only life. We're to be partakers of it. Right? And here we are at the end of the ages, and it's time for rapture. So how's it going to happen? The way it's going to happen is God's going to come down and through this flesh live out and show us proof of the resurrection.
Amen.
Bust through that door, that wall, and so we can go right on into and become part of that resurrected life.
Amen.
Here on earth. Right? Leaving denominational limitations. This is what he did. See, I just want to always just try to express to you that what you sit in and what you're partakers of is that resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That sure, God can do whatever and great things happen tomorrow, but let's understand that if you know that God has come and done something to you and taken you from all that denominational stuff, and you know that you're partakers of this resurrection life, then you have life in you. This is what the prophet tells us. So he's taking us from time into eternity. So Brother Branham, through his ministry, Christ's coming, showed in this day the sign of a resurrection to us for a purpose. We'll read some quotes to you. This is out of the Rising of the Sun. Before I read this, I want to bring your attention, your remembrance to the story Brother Branham told so many times about the farmer that took the eagle egg and put it under a hen. And we're all familiar, but just to relate, just in case someone's listening and doesn't know the story, farmer takes an eagle egg and puts it under a chicken. And that chicken sets on that egg, and of course the environment was right, so that the eagle is born. He doesn't know any different. He thinks he's a chicken. He doesn't know what an eagle is. That's a quote from the prophet. He does not know. And yet he is an eagle. So in him is something that makes him different than all the rest, but he didn't know that. And all the rest, he's kind of weird, you know. He's thinking maybe they're kind of weird, you know, because, but as Brother Ram tells the story that Mama Eagle, she at some point, she realized, hey, I got an eaglet out there somewhere, and begins to fly over and finally sees the baby eagle out there in the barnyard who thinks they're a chicken. But something inside is already moving. They don't really fit in. Right? They're among a bunch of chickens who can't fly, will not have 14 feet wingspan. Follow me?
Right.
Those chickens will never be anything more than chickens. But here's this eagle right in the midst of that. And doesn't know it because it's all they know. I mean, this is church. Right? This is why on this side of that breach, this is all there is. Didn't know any different. But one day, when Mama Eagle flies over and screams out, Brother Bram said that Mama Eagle screamed out, there was something inside the baby that recognized that baby eagle. That it could connect with.
Right.
That sounds right. Not this cluck, cluck, cluck. Not all this other stuff. They had, that the eagle had a nature in it that wanted to have fresh kill of the meat, right? And wanted to soar the heavens. And as long as that predestinated word, that predestinated plan is in there and seed form in that, you'll never be happy anywhere else until you come in contact with that great scream of the great eagle that has come in our day. This is why we know that it's come out of denominations, however my people, come out of all those limitations, come out of the chicken pen, come right on up into what you've been ordained. And so this great eagle screams out, and what Brother Brown was trying to show us here, this is what's happened. God has come down and through a ministry has shown this, the sign of a resurrection has been a great eagle that would fly over and scream out over to all the churches, and there's individuals in there that can connect to that and realize that's what sounds right.
Right?
This is what Brother Brown said. When you recognize that the Word of God is eagle food, not denominational teachings, not creeds, not dogmas, but when you recognize that the Word of God, thus saith the Lord, is the food that you are to eat, eagle food, then you'll leave the other thing. You've left all that. He actually says, and then you've left. Once you connect and realize this is it, you've left the other thing. You're not going to go for that denomination. It won't satisfy no more. Why? Because you've seen the breach. You've heard that voice calling. You've come in contact with the great eagle resurrection. And it'll draw you from it. And so he said, you've left the other thing. All right? You have now heard from your theophany. You've come in contact with the thing, the representation of who you are, right? I know we've heard these things before, but just to try and bring it through this in the light of today, in the light of what God has done, that this message is that great eagle that has flown over. God represents himself as an eagle, prophets as an eagle, has flown over, and it wasn't just another chicken talking, but it was something that chickens can't even ever will ever be. God had showed himself in our day something that the denominations will never be able to show or mimic. Right? Oh, they try all these other things, but there's one thing that Satan will never be able to mimic, that third pool. Right? There won't be a public showing. So you understand what Jesus was. There's something about him that never changes throughout all ages. And there's something here present that Satan cannot mimic. And that's the thing that's calling us. That's what we're connected to. Amen. And so he tells us about the chicken and the eagle. And so God, he's talking about God as the great mama eagle. He said, and God knows, hallelujah, he's got a predestinated, foreordained church. He knows he's got sons and daughters and a bride somewhere. And when the Holy Spirit begins to fly over it, and he ties it to the wave sheaf. Wave sheaf, oh my. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not some mystical story, but a reality. And no matter how man tried to tell him as a chicken, as an eagle, he didn't know that he was an eagle. He didn't know what an eagle was. And yet, he was an eagle. And here's what I'm trying to get to. Brother Rev said he would not understand it until he seen something that reflected what he was. So even though he was an eagle in the chicken pen, he wouldn't ever really understand that until he come in contact with something that was like what's inside him, right? Predestinated. So he had to come in contact with the great eagle, the great prophetic ministry that could show the sign of the resurrection that would bust through the limitations. He'd have to come into contact, and as soon as he comes in contact with that, he knows this other stuff he's been setting in has been wrong, right? See, so what did that? What did that to all of us? Quickening power. Amen?
Right.
Quickening power is what lets us see these things. God coming down in us, fulfilling his word. God not wanting a family, but God being a family. Coming in and living in them, being a family. So, he would not understand it until he seen something that reflected what he was. And so, and Brother Branham, you know, when he gets to a place where he's really trying to express something, you can tell the way he says it, and he says, and when we see, so he paralleled, showed you, and here we are, we're eagles, but being in this denominational chicken pen, we're eagles, and we need to see something, right? We need to see, and he said, and so when we see, not a denomination, not a PhD, not an LLD, not a good neighbor, but a son of God, molded in the image of God, with the dynamic power of God to answer the request of the day that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There ain't no hand going to hold you. Right? So he's showing you what has happened in our day. That we sat here and we needed to see a great sign of the resurrection. We needed to see a great eagle fly over and prove that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. And once you see that, ain't nobody going to talk you out of it. Amen. No hen, no denominations, no nothing. Amen. Cannot talk you out of it.
Right.
Amen. And so, then you leave the barnyard, you leave the limitations. Those chickens, like I said, they'll never rapture because it's not in them to. But there's rapture in an eagle. But the only way it can happen is it has to come in contact. You have to be tutored by your parent. You have to be called and trained by your parent. You know, and your parent will call you and draw you up into being mature eagles. So this message brought us quickening power. Brother Bam talked there, he mentioned their wave sheep. So we're familiar with what wave sheep is whenever they had their cycles a feast and so forth through Israel. They'd plant their crops, and then when the first fruits would come mature. So like I heard it described years ago, and a good way to describe it, that you have a field of wheat out there, and at some point, some portion of that field's going to ripen before the rest. There'll be some place where it, and the priests would take that, and they would take it, and they would go, and they'd wave it before the Lord. They'd cut that, and they'd wave it before the Lord. And the whole idea there was to thank the Lord for this whole process that would bring wheat to maturity. Thanking him for it, knowing that that same process that brought that first bundle of wheat to maturity, that same process was going to bring the rest. Right? And so you can understand, of course, Jesus was waved over the people. And that's what they do. They wave it. And so Jesus, when he resurrected, he was waved over the people, went up high, you know, in a resurrection and so forth, and showing that all the rest of them will come too because he did. That's that whole concept. Right. But here it is, it would happen again in this last day, and I'll read the quotes here in a minute, and some of you probably heard them. But here again in this last day, that God would have to come and through a ministry showing that a sin-born man could be redeemed in such a way, in such a place, that he could become a wave sheaf. Mm-hmm. That the redeeming process and the word of the hour could quicken such a degree that God would say, let me wave this over the people. Let the whole world see this. Knowing that what made that son of God come to that position is going to bring the rest of us to that position. Mm-hmm. That's why Brother Bram experienced a rapture there up in Colorado. Be a great place to rapture. You know, but he experienced what God was doing in him, God's going to do for the rest of us, because he was the first fruit. And so, this is also, I think, in the Rising of the Sun, where Brother Brim says, as Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, because he was first one to come up, he said, although typed in many places, he was the first fruits that of those that slept. And so, as Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, In the bride coming of Christ, let's break this down for a moment. In the bride coming of Christ, that's at the end time. Christ coming again in his bride.
Right.
In the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, remember what I said, out of denomination into, through the breach, into the resurrection, into the seals, into eternity. Right? And so, in the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, there'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. See, God don't break his rule, break his way of doing it. So, if he's going to do it, he's going to do it like he did then. And so, there'd have to be in our day, in the bride age, in the bride coming of Christ, something would have to happen that would be a wave sheaf that we could look to and say, thank God for that maturity. It'll work in me and bring me to the same maturity level. Right? And God would lift it up and let the people see it. Brother Ben says, oh my, waving of the sheaf. What is a sheaf? It's the first one to come to maturity. It's the first one to prove that it was wheat. And that proved that it was a sheaf. Hallelujah. We look at Brother Branham's ministry and his life. Do you doubt whether or not he was a son of God? Do you doubt whether God brought him to maturity? No. We've seen it. We've witnessed it. Okay? So we've seen the great resurrection. Now we are to be beneficiaries of that resurrection. What has that done to us? Do we still sit in denominational teaching? Do we still listen to things of the world? See what I'm saying? That quickening power, that resurrection has already begun to move and work in us to quicken us. That's why we've left the other thing. That's why we feed on what we feed on. Right? But he said there'd have to be one. It'd be the first one to prove that it was wheat, to prove that it was a sheep. Hallelujah. And Brother Ray said, I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. Let me just say it. Not to try and put words in his mouth, but so to teach you to understand what I believe was going on there, what he was saying. Brother Branham knew what his ministry was. And he said, look, there would have to come in the last day a ministry that would show these things and prove what it is. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. It was his own ministry. We understand that that ministry was the wave sheaf. And it was waved over the people. And Brother Ben says, and the first time, there will come forth for the bride age, right? For a bride to come forth, for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism, will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power and being waved over the people by the same signs and wonders that he did back there. Because I live, you live also, speaking to his wife. Because I live, you live also. What a resurrection that was 2,000 years ago, right? What a resurrection that was. What a resurrection this is, to be quickened from the dead, to be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. So go back to that again there. For this bride age, there had to be a wave sheet. So for a resurrection out of, where are we coming from? Out of dark denominationalism. Right? There'll have to come a message that would be that wave sheet. There'd have to be a message that would prove it was wheat, would prove the whole process, to prove that God could come down and save a sinful man and bring him such to the place where he's an adopted son. That would have to be raised up, and it's bringing us out of dark denominationalism while it's doing it. And that message to show the same signs and wonders he did back there. Brother Branham's ministry, people thought he was Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because what you read in the Bible, God was doing through that man. That wasn't to make people worship that man. That was to make people pay attention to the wave sheaf. Mm-hmm. To realize God had done something And that's our ticket.
Right.
Right? Praise God, the message that this man taught that brought him to that place, that God was so pleased with him and what he said and what he did, that he would show this sign of a resurrection to him, that same thing is working in me now.
Amen.
Right? It's working in you.
Right.
Now, if you're still inclined to believe denominational stuff, or you're still not sure about the message, that's between you and God. But if you know that this is truth, then you've heard from your theophany. You've heard that great eagle's dream. You have been partakers. You are beneficiaries of this resurrection. Amen. To be alive in Christ. If you're not alive in Christ in this stage, you're still feeding on denominational stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Things that aren't truth. Right? But if you've heard from him, then now you're, it's clear. Right? Amen. Brother Bam says, now how are we his flesh, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone? Now this is probably one that's maybe hard for people to understand. We are to be flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, right? Well, we know the Word was made flesh. So how could we be flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone? Well, Brother Bam says, because quickly, while we were mortal sinners, mortal, ready to die in these bodies, talking about quickening power, it quickens that body. What's quickened? It brings to life. The spirit that once liked to drink and to run around and commit adultery and all these things, it's quickened. Right? So he's just simply telling you about a new birth. The thing that came on you and changed you so you don't go and you're not running around committing adultery and all that kind of, that's quickening power, right? If you know that you're not what you used to be, you know something changed in you, you've got quickening power working in you, and it's that same voice, the voice of the resurrection, that can change your body when it comes time. So it's quickened. Why? The things dead and you're resurrected, it quickens your mortal body. And here's what Brother says. Therefore, because you've got this quickening power in you, it's already got you to change. You're no longer wanting things of the world. You've got a new birth. It's already happened. He says, therefore, your body is a temple of the dynamics. Because the dynamics is already in you. We have this idea, the dynamics, it's got to come. The dynamics is in you right now. You already have that in you. This is what Brother Bram was saying. Therefore, your body is the temple of the dynamics. Because why? From the beginning, you are part of the mechanics. So, these are things, you know, it used to be, oh, God sent a prophet, you know. We're moving now into it's all about, hey, what Christ is it done in us. And so we're coming to this place where we've said it here many times, and it's in the message there, that you're the Word made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he was. He come through a different channel, but you realize with God and what God is doing through his plan of redemption, look what it does to us.
Yeah.
And we've already seen it. That his plan of redemption works so good that God could do in a life of a sinful man, Brother Branham, show the sign of the resurrection, show adoption, show a son coming to full measure of adoption, could show, and so we know that process works. It wasn't just Jesus Christ who was perfect, but now he can come down and he can make a man perfect to such that he can live through that vessel that way. Right? And we're beneficiaries of that. And so we have to come to realize, and as he said here, the mechanics is the Word, right? And the dynamics is the Holy Spirit to quicken that.
Yeah.
Right? And so he says here, from the beginning, you are part of the mechanics. By predestination. God already, that mechanics of that predestinated Word laying there, it just needs to be quickened. You're already the mechanics. And he says, there's your resurrection. There's the church in the resurrection with him. These bodies right now are quickened. This is what he's saying. These bodies right now are quickened. You say, well, I don't feel like it. The quickening power is in you if you've got that experience in the Lord. See, you've heard, you believe it, it changed you, right? You heard, you believe it, it changed you. When you heard the gospel, it changed you. You repented of your sins, right? You had a new birth. Resurrection began to work in you. Same process now. Here we are in denominational deadness, just like we were dead in our sins. Denominational church here in deadness. We hear a great eagle. We hear a message. We believe that message. And it changes us. And it changes us from a denomination to the Word. That's what he said. But like I'm saying, you have to believe it. That, hey, I know what this is, but alongside with this, in me is that resurrection power. In me is that quicken. It started working in me 30 years ago, some odd years ago. It's there. It's working, right? Yeah. And so we are Word made flesh. We have a predestined Word that was later, and now it's been quickened, and now we're the Word made flesh, and we are the temple of the dynamics.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for that. So, the message came and brought to us the quickening. Could be in a denominational and denominational world and never know that seed germ, that seed word of God. When you go there, do you hear them talk about that? You don't hear denominations saying, in you, you're part the Word. You don't hear that. But it's been proven and vindicated in our day by a great resurrection sign that in us is that quickening power.
Right.
Right? It's not going to be hard for God to change our bodies when it comes time. I don't know if we'll wake up some morning and it'll just click and we'll think, oh, and we'll just, something will happen and we'll, amen, and that does it, or if God will just do it. I don't know. But when it comes time for him to change our bodies, that's you have to realize, if you can change a man in his attitude and his spirit, his body will follow. Right?
Right.
So if God can just get the revelation of the resurrection and life in you, the body will follow. And that's what he's doing. He's bringing us to the place where we understand and recognize that through quickening power, this end time message, he's called us, and we've come out of dark denominationalism, and we are becoming that wheat coming to maturity, following the same process that he has shown us already. Amen. So we are thankful.
Amen.
What good would all of this done if Christ would have come years ago and did though, and even if he had did all this and we were to be beneficiaries, if that message never got out? That's why the scriptures say, the good news.
Yeah.
This is the good news, right? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel and bring glad tidings. How beautiful it is if someone could come and bring this message and say, let me tell you, you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay a sinner. Christ died for you, and you can be beneficiary. He can live in your heart and change you. What a message. But it's repeated again in another fold of it. That God has come. And what if that message had never got out? What if nobody would have ever told us about what happened in our day? We would have never heard that quickening power has come. That we've, you understand? So thank God. So it still is. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of those who take this message and tell one. And as I said, Jesus said don't cast pearl before swine, right? Something precious before some. And so we talk. We'll talk to people. And if they don't reciprocate this word, then there's just only so far we go, because they're not going to receive it. They're going to turn and use it against you. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've made that mistake. And they tried to turn on me because of it. Right? It's happened more than once. But see, that same thing applies today. There is truth. We want to share it. We want to tell people. If they don't reciprocate it, okay. You know, move on to the next. Amen. But what if nobody had brought that to us? You know, Brother Perryman, right here in this church right here, back years ago, he's the one that gave me tapes. I had never heard of William Brown. He's the one that gave it. He didn't even understand what was going on. But God used him to give tapes to me. And you see how the rest of the story. See, what if that had not happened? But it has happened. What if that gospel had not been taught all these years? But it has. Amen? Why? Because God's program is effective. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He knows exactly how to get out there. He knows exactly how to quicken his people.
Right.
Amen. So we're glad for that. Let's let the musicians come. Let's bow our hearts to him. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection. I'm glad to know that I don't have to rely on me to quicken this word. You know, as a minister of the gospel, as we preachers know, that if God don't speak, you're just laying there with nothing but denominational, or just nothing but ideas, right? Nothing but when God quickens a word to you, a sermon to you, it's the difference is night and day. The difference is night and day. Scares the daylights out of me to think that I would ever have to come up here and minister without quickening the Holy Spirit to do it. It's a very fearful thing, and any minister would tell you that. But it's a great thing, and it's like night and day when the Holy Spirit's quickening you. Now you've got a fork for it. Right? And it's the same thing. Quickening power comes to us and changes us, and it's like night and day. This message made the Bible become a new book. Amen? How thankful we should be for this resurrection. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blessings upon us now to be able to sit in your presence of your word this morning. Lord, I pray as I've shared these things this morning that your Holy Spirit move upon your people, that it would just solidify these things in their heart. Let it be just another stone placed in the revelation of their life that they can stand upon to understand who they are. Lord, I believe that you're doing a great work in the midst of the earth today and among your people. And Lord, it comes through this word that you have given. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We thank you, Lord. We just ask for your blessings on these that are here, those that will be streaming, those that are traveling today. We ask, God, that you just move, be with each one. And help us today, Lord, to enjoy this day of resurrection. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. said a while ago, there's something about him that never changes. And, you know, he walked up and down the shore. You know, he showed himself in Moses. He showed himself in Abraham. He showed himself through the different ones. And all that changes, but he doesn't change. And I want to say that to you, that he's in you, and he doesn't change.
Amen.
You might get old. You might go by way of the grave. You might feel sick one day. You might be find something. But Christ in you never changes. Amen. We're so glad that that's the case. Amen. I just wanted to sing the song, How Great Thou Art, as we get ready to go. We're going to sing Down From His Glory. We sung that a while ago, so we could do that one too. How Great Thou Art. Down From His Glory and How Great Thou Art is two of my favorite songs. Amen. He would come down.